Let's hone in next on the rhetoric of hate speech. Joining me is Villanova University Communications Professor Billy Murray, whose work examines the relationships between public space and the rhetoric of social protest. Professor Murray, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you.
Now, in trying to come to a sense of what defines hate speech, is it even useful to come up with a definition, or is it more like the Supreme Court justices who posited regarding pornography, they know it when they see it? Do you know hate speech when you hear it?
I think so, and there are a lot of definitions that sort of get floated around within legal circles or academic circles. Some people will even go so far as to call it assaultive speech instead of hate speech. But any kind of speech that denigrates an entire group of people based on race or gender absolutely qualifies as hate speech.
So it need not, of course, be merely physically assaultive.
No, absolutely not. Any kind of speech that denigrates people to the point that they feel they can't participate in their democracy, that they fear to go out in public. For example, women a lot of times fear to post things online because they tend to get a lot of hate speech directed at them, misogynist speech directed at them in online platforms and in social media. So anything that sort of keeps people from participating in their democracy is absolutely can be seen as an assault, even though it's not physical in any way.
Though the protest in Charlottesville and others like it, almost by definition, isn't it all but impossible to have dialogue at these kinds of events?
In my opinion, yes. There are some people who try to encourage that sort of communicative mode. But for me, there are other more effective ways to communicate in terms of dealing with these kinds of things. And dialogue isn't always the best one. It kind of depends on your context. But in situations that I've seen regarding these kinds of rallies, these sorts of protests, one of the most effective ways to communicate is to really communicate with a larger audience, an audience that may be sympathetic to your side, to say, you know, we're going to stand up to this. We're not going to stay home and be quiet. We're not going to quarantine ourselves. We're going to say no, right? We're going to stand up and say no and show these groups and larger audiences that this kind of hate is not going to go unaddressed in our communities.
True. But when you're speaking to a cohort that's already sympathetic to your side, what hope is there to help others come to a different understanding?
I don't know that there is a lot of hope for helping really rabid racists come to your side of that story. I don't know that there's a lot of room for that kind of persuasion. Martin Luther King talked about this as well, that really the audience we need to be thinking about are the moderates, are the people who are sort of not necessarily just on your side, but people that are questioning it and trying to understand what's going on to help them to see that the other side of this issue is the side that is more just or more right or what have you. But I don't know that persuading rabid racists really gets you anywhere at this point.
One final question, and it's to focus again back on words and the term alt-right, a seemingly innocuous political faction, and indeed words matter, but the extremist white separatist cohort that includes neo-Nazis and other fringe groups, is it painting with too broad a brush to label everybody in the conservative movement or alt-right movement a part of that as well?
I think there are members of the conservative movement, members of the Republican Party, that absolutely don't fall within the alt-right or fall within white supremacist or white nationalist discourse. I think what you're seeing happen is that we have to find out where to draw these lines. And up until Charlottesville this weekend, I think people were sort of drawing the lines in the way that the alt-right was simply a more conservative faction of an already conservative movement or Republican movement. Whereas I think after Charlottesville, people are realizing that that term really is sort of housing, you know, very old traditional KKK members, neo-Nazi members, the Proud Boys, Vanguard America, all of these very traditionally hateful and violent movements. And so I think people are changing the way they think about that word, and I think we have to learn how to draw those lines in the right places.
Much food for thought. Professor, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Villanova University Communication Professor Billy Murray.